Welcome back to the show. Let's go to line number three. Say good morning to the president of the Newfoundland Labrador Teachers Association, Dean Ingram. Dean, you're on the air.
Good morning. Good morning to you and your audience.
Welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Patty. Certainly, obviously, the return to school plan is certainly of the forefront of many people in the province. Certainly, looking to our petition, there's over 12,000 people that directly express concerns, and the province wants a return to school. No one disputes that, but it has you on the safe, and this is why we need to continue work towards getting necessary solutions. I will give full credit. They said that the conversations, the discussions we've had with Minister Osborne, Premier Fury engagement, there's been a refreshing tone to date, and we certainly keep working towards progress. There have been a couple of announcements that certainly are positive steps, but I would certainly hold that additional steps are certainly needed.
Such as?
Well, I think we need to get a consistency of messaging. I mean, and marry that with a consistent application of that message. We've heard from Dr. Fitzgerald, people, space, time, place, physical distancing, in the absence of physical distancing, mask wearing. On this morning's radio show, the news, Dr. Bridger actually referenced exactly that. I mean, she referenced specifically the need to have those measures put in place. And she said that the areas of concern with COVID is crowded, enclosed, close contact spaces. That's our problem as classrooms. And we need to ensure that measure taken there. We still have a concern with the physical distancing piece. We certainly have a concern with the application of the wearing of masks. These are two things that need to be worked for and need to work towards finding solutions.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you can't increase the actual footprint of the school, then the physical distancing with the class sizes that we see in many of the heavily or densely populated schools, it is what it is, and it can't be changed, I don't think. Insofar as masks go, you know, I do believe that they add a layer of protection that is going to be very helpful as we try to navigate this. But inside the school for the school-age students, What's the likelihood of that being an all-day, unstoppable task for a teacher to monitor mask wearing and mask behavior and safe usage of and all of the rest? Because I think that, look, I have no problem with the mandatory masks, and I'll wear them in public indoor spaces. But do we not just create another level of expectation on teachers that will further take away from instruction time, and it might not get us where we want to be in the first place?
No, I wouldn't agree with that. I mean, there's a number of studies from physicians that indicate the benefit of mask wearing.
In fact, I believe in it.
I want to stress, I've seen reports from across the country, doctors saying that if you can't physically distance, which I think is probably the first line defense, but in the absence of that, we need to look at applying mandatory mask rules. In terms of the implementation of that, I think it has to be a mandatory thing. Now, I will be the first to state up front that there will be students, there will be adults, that for various reasons may have exceptionalities. And that's not a foreign concept within our schools. You go into any school, you'll see placards listing students that have exceptionalities, medical exceptionalities, for a whole host of medical reasons, from allergies, for respiratory concerns, and the list goes on. Those students need to be taken into account. We'll see situations with students that are on the our student support services. There is documentation there. What I would hold is that if students are not going to wear their masks, there needs to be a documented reason for that. These are things there. Otherwise, compliance will be a huge issue. I think we also have to circle back that the question really becomes is that for all employees throughout this province, and again, student safety is paramount, absolutely, but we can't ignore the reality about safety for those who work with those students.
Yeah, I'm not dismissing the concept. I'm just trying to think through some of the angles out loud. And then, of course, to explain the rationale behind masks to adults, you know, it's not easy, but it could or should be more manageable, versus children. And I'm not talking about why you wear them, but maybe having to address reasons why some are not wearing them. Because you know the way it goes. Mm-hmm. People want to be treated the same across the board, even though we know every individual is different, has a different set of needs or circumstances that have to be considered. But I really think that we're going to have a problem. I think it's going to start on the bus. I think the masks on the bus is already going to present a challenge when who's going to enforce it on the bus. Because some children will want to just drop it under so they can talk to their pal or take it off. off or touch the seat or touch the window, and we've got a bus driver who should be looking down the road. So I think right off the bat, we're going to see a mask issue on the bus, unfortunately. And bringing it into school, I just don't know. I really don't know. I hope we can craft a message that allows for calm and safety at the exact same time, which is going to be tricky, but I think it's available.
Well, again, there's no doubt that there are ways around this. Certainly implementing measures, implementing restrictions, those certainly aren't foreign concepts in so many aspects of society. And with appropriate supports, with appropriate measures taken, we can get through this. But again, for our members, and I would say a large portion of the general public, the concern is that we see a consistency of the messaging, people, space, time, and place. We see messaging that says that confined spaces, large numbers, poor ventilation, avoid that. But the application of that message, as it pertains to our schools, is an inconsistent one. And there are measures that can be put in place. Now, I will certainly advocate and state that we have seen positive steps. The implementation of the administrative units, a positive step. The implementation of the school counselors, a positive. And both those will certainly assist in rolling out our COVID reality in our schools. From the administrative end, administrators will be tasked with numerous demands to implement the plan, monitor the plan, implement things, for example, the isolation rooms. That will follow the school administrators. That requires demands. Notwithstanding that, for years we've been advocating that the cuts that were made in 2009 regarding our school administrators need to be reversed. That's where, too. So what we've done is we've implemented the administrative allocations that were in place that were removed. Our schools are complicated buildings. We've shared a number of conversations over the past couple of years on that in and of itself. We can look to the school counselors, and again, speaking specifically to COVID, there will be a demand on diagnostics that when our schools shut down that weren't done. There will be additional diagnostics required in the fall. Couple that with the enhanced anxiety, all related to COVID. That aside, we know that the allocation of school counselors pre-COVID was inadequate. So these are two measures we think are positive. We need to continue discussions. We need to look to find ways to implement the messaging that we've heard since March and make it applicable to our schools. And I'm looking forward to further discussions with Minister Osborne and our respective staffs to move towards it. I know the all-party committee is working on these things well, and we need to ensure that we get it right. It's too important not to.
I couldn't agree more. It does have a feeling of scrambling at the 11th hour. Very quickly, because I do have to go to the news. I think it's good that we're adhering to the recommendations as old as 2008, but with the 15 administrative positions, 25 additional guidance counselors. You know, I don't even know if they're available and they're out there that can be brought in on time. Do you think they are? And what level of training is going to have to be afforded to them? And can any of this be done by day one of school, which is on the 9th of September for the students?
Well, I think for a number of these administrative positions, we have administrators in the system. And again, I keep going back to the example of the school that in 2008 would have had 400 students, 1 3/4 admin units. Today, prior to this announcement, 1.5. So that assistant principal that would have been half-time, they may become three-quarter-time.
Okay.
That would mean their teaching duties would then be dispersed to other staff members. We can look at the same potential among our school counselors.
Okay.
The same thing. So again, partial counseling units may become more complete, which means teaching duties that would have been assigned will be redispersed. So can be done, yes, but to your point, the clock is ticking. We need to make decisions. We need to implement decisions, and it's important to get it right. It's too important not to.
Dean, I always appreciate your time. I remain optimistic about the school year, but it's going to take a massive effort and all hands pulling the rope in the same direction, because without it, we can't get off to a poor start this year. I mean, we can't any year, but we certainly cannot this year, given how different we'll be for everyone in the school community, from administrators right through the kindergartners and their entire families. I appreciate your time. We're off to the news. Stay in touch.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dean. Bye-bye. That's Dean Ingram, the president of the NLTA. Whew. All right, let's take a break for the news. When we come back, we're going to talk about the semesterized schools and public exams that really should be canceled at this moment in time. Diane wants to talk about back to school. Gary's in there talking about sports and masks. And then you. Don't go away.